Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
The quest for the North begins. Let's drop the puck, Flames fans. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered, episode 84. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, recording this on the eve of the NHL season. And it seems like it's been forever, doesn't it? Man, it seems like it's been forever since that disasterful loss to Dallas. I almost said in Dallas. It wasn't in Dallas. But yeah, that's behind us now. We got a new team. A lot of changes, a lot of roster changes. A lot of things to be excited for in the great city of Calgary. Excitement level, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. During this camp, it's been, muted maybe would be the word. And I think a little bit of that has to do with just the media not being able to be as close. Not having exhibition games, that changed everything. And not having it drawn out where you're going to have your normal camp where you're cutting guys, moving to the next phase, cutting guys, moving to the next phase, cutting guys, where it all just kind of fell in our lap. And then late this afternoon, you know, we got our roster. And man, the last couple of days, Flames fans have lost their mind, and we'll talk about that a little bit as Twitter kind of went crazy. We look like Canucks fans, guys. But anyways, roster comes out today, and it was a lot of what I expected, and I think what a lot of fans expected. COVID worries are prevalent, as I believe it was 27 reported COVID cases since camp, 17 of them in the Dallas Stars organization. Filtering news that there's, you know, guys throughout the league. They're not really confirming exact names. There's some speculation on some guys. We'll talk about that also later. And a thought came to mind. And I don't want you guys to think I'm barbaric or crazy or whatever, but has anybody ever thought of the fact that, like, timing is so critical? And not that I want anybody to ever get COVID or anybody to deal with it, but the truth is, too, that most of these athletes that have gotten it have explained that their experience was not difficult because of their age and the shape they're in and everything like that. So don't start sending me hate mail or freaking out on me, but I was thinking about this the other night. Would you rather hear that Matthew Tkachuk is out for 14 days with COVID the second week of February? Or would you rather hear that the first week of April? If your guys are going to get it, you want them to get it early. Now, I'm not saying that I want guys out there licking doorknobs here trying to get this. I'm just saying that it's kind of a weird one. I don't want anybody to get it, but if you are, let's get it early. Let's get healthy. Let's get going. Yeah, with no live games to go to, that's going to be different this year. But I've got my NHL package in place. All my apps are updated. I went through it, got my Apple TV raring to go. On both my TVs, I put in a new 75-inch in the studio/office/game room/hockey-watching room. What do you want to call it? No worries to have to save your money for tickets this year, so, or, you know, anything like that. I have no media events to book. I've got none of that, so I thought, well, I might as well get my new TV and make sure everything's up and going. Sportsnet comes in clear, comes in beautiful, and yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for Flames hockey, and I'm actually ready for tomorrow night. Actually, when this releases tomorrow, it'll be today, but we'll get, yeah, whatever. I'm ready for the games tomorrow. I think that's going to be fun watching Edmonton and Vancouver, and I'm excited. I'm finally to that level of, yeah, tomorrow the NHL season starts. It's a good thing. And excitement. We got a big show for you tonight. It's a eve of hockey, and we got a good show planned out. It's a jam-packed show. We'll touch a little bit on the inter-squad scrimmages. We'll move into some training camp notes, talk about some player moves. The waiver madness that ripped through Calgary yesterday. Holy cow. And I'll give my 2 cents on the roster formation depth charts on where they're at and where I would like to see them. We'll talk some Flames news, some news from the north. And, yeah, Facebook poll about how many points will the Flames earn in the first 10 games this year. Some interesting results there. We'll wrap with a quick preview of that opener on Thursday night in the great city of Winnipeg and a slight preview. It's kind of hard to preview when we haven't got going yet of the 2-game set with Vancouver coming to the Saddle Dome. And we will have that on Saturday night. And we will also have that on Monday, as it's hard to believe the NHL's here and it's time for Flames hockey. All right, Flames fans. It's time to talk Flames hockey. It's going to be good. I hope it starts off good. So critical. With no preseason games, usually at this point of the show, we're recapping a game and we have nothing to recap. So we'll talk a little bit about those inter-squad scrimmages. And, you know, man, I take inter-squad scrimmages with a grain of salt. I really do. They're fun. I mean, it was fun. It was nice to get to watch the one on Monday night. But you know what? You can only take them for really what they're worth, and it's not a lot. I hope the coaches got what they needed to see out of them. And yeah, inter-squad scrimmages last Thursday and this Monday. Some players that I thought looked good. I thought Valimaki looked good, and why would I not say that? I've been screaming about Valimaki since he went overseas and showed us what a great, great young prospect we have in him. I also liked Adam Rziska. I thought he looked good. And, you know, is this guy ready? Is this guy going to surpass Glenn Godden as that young guy we might see in the lineup this year? And we'll talk a little bit about that in the rosters later on, but it's going to be hard to have those guys break the lineup. Or is maybe this year getting some games in the American Hockey League? I pray we do. Where we can see him really develop, really take charge of that league, and hopefully move into a spot next year. That would be a blessing to see some of the prospects come through. I thought David Rittich has looked confident and solid and restored some of that confidence that was zapped the hell out of him last year in the playoffs in that unfortunate game and that horrible pull by Jeff Ward that sent Rittich into a recipe for disaster. And yeah, he completed the recipe too. He was god awful. Good to see he's back, and back to the David Rittich that I've always had a soft spot for and cheered for. I don't think he's our starter. Obviously we got our man now, but David Rittich is a solid backup, and I'm happy to have David Rittich as a backup for this team. I think you need a strong backup, and David Rittich is perfect for the job, and excited to see how he does. Louis Domingue got a little bit of action on Monday too, and I thought he was decent. He stopped Tkachuk on a breakaway. That was interesting and funny a little bit. And yeah, all in all, you know, entertaining to watch, but not and a little weird to watch too, with I don't know, just the home and the wager. It looked weird. But anyways, it's done. It's over. I would have liked to seen one preseason game, but you know what? You don't always get your wish in hockey, do you? It's good to see the guys back on the ice, though. That was the biggest thing I took away from the inter-squad scrimmages. All right, Flames fans, let's roll into our first topic of the night, and that's some training camp notes. And there is a lot of them. Let's talk a little bit about who's officially been assigned to Stockton as Justin Kirkland, Garrett Sparks, Colton Pullman, Eto'o Tulio, Luke Phillip all head down to Stockton. We're going to see a giant list of a bunch more guys heading that way also. And then they'll have to figure out where like guys like Connor Zary go back to the WHL, I hope, with that season still somewhat in limbo. It's been announced that they're coming back, but still in a little bit of a limbo on when it actually will be starting. Yeah, I hope we can find places for these prospects to play, because it's going to be so important. And I've always been a proponent that I didn't want to see a bunch of them buried in the taxi squads. I didn't think that was the right place for them. We need to develop them, but yeah, we'll see where that goes. Now, yesterday was Monday, and the NHL saw, I believe it was 90-plus names fall onto the waiver wire. We've never seen that before to that extent, to my knowledge, with that many. And it just shows that, like, things are different this year, man. They're just way different. It's not a normal year. It's not going to be a normal year. And Flames fans went batshit crazy when the names Derek Ryan, Zach Rinaldo, and Oliver Shillington came up on that list. Now, many weren't surprised with Zach Rinaldo. I wasn't at all. I was slightly surprised with Shillington. I was slightly in awe with Derek Ryan until I figured out and listened to why it happened and how that there was only three teams that cap-wise could sign him. And I don't know if they want to spend $3+ million on Derek Ryan. That's not a slight on Derek Ryan. I think Derek Ryan is going to be a critical part of this team, and I don't doubt we don't see him in the lineup Thursday night. But the hockey world went crazy. Now, Sunday, we saw Buddy Robinson, Justin Kirkland, Byron Fraze, Alec Petrovic, and Louis Domingue on waivers. I was a little worried about Louis Domingue in the fact that I knew New Jersey needed somebody, and I thought maybe they would snag him up at that price tag. He is a safety net that I am so glad that we have. He cleared, all five of those guys cleared. We found that out on Monday morning, along with the news of, holy crap, are we going to lose Derek Ryan and Oliver Shillington? Now, let's think about this, guys. And this is what drove me crazy, because I read tweets all offseason about, man, we have to dump Derek Ryan's cap. We have to dump his cap. We need that cap space for a player. We need to really move Derek Ryan. We need to have someone take him into trade so we can clear that cap space up. Saw it all over Twitter. I saw it on Facebook too. And then Derek Ryan goes on waivers and someone could claim him. And the same Flames Twitter is, what are they doing? Why could Derek Ryan be on waivers? This doesn't make any sense. What if somebody claims him? What are we going to do? We need Derek Ryan to be successful. Are you shitting me? We're going to be that franchise that's going to go back and forth and talk double standards? Come on, guys. We're better than that. No one was going to claim Derek Ryan because only three teams could afford to, first of all. And this was genius by True Living. And if you think about it and listen to his press conference on Tuesday afternoon, he explained why. This is all about cap savings. And this is all about how important this is. If he runs the cap correctly this year, you know that it could be upwards of $8 million in free cap space by sending a guy like Derek Ryan to the taxi squad. Now, Derek Ryan will still get his NHL salary because he's only got an NHL contract. He doesn't have an AHL contract. They can save money by shuffling Valimaki, Dubé, Ryan, especially guys like Ryan, where he's on a NHL contract, so it's not going to affect his pay like it would the other ones. This taxi squad is not just going to be used this year as a safety net, but it's going to be used, and a way to manipulate the cap this year is, instead of having 23 on your roster, you can have a 20 and then just pull guys up every night as needed, a guy to fill that spot, to fill a hole, and you can keep your cap down, and that money below the cap keeps continuing to add up. And you can use that later in the year. This is cap finagling. I don't know what other word you want to use for it. I heard the word gymnastics earlier today. I heard the True Living use the word circus allay. I can't say that quickly and then good enough. So I just call it cap management. And thank God we have a good crew of cap management guys that can figure all this out, because it's complicated. I struggle with it every day trying to figure out how it was going to go. We had a group of guys that needed waivers to be cleared to be able to go up and down from the taxi squad. That was Domingue, Shillington, Petrovic, Ryan, Robinson, Rinaldo, and Fraze. All of them cleared. Now, we had guys that don't need waivers. There's a whole list of them, like Godden would fall into that. Dylan Dubé will fall into that. Valimaki, Mackey. See any other guys here that are relevant that would do that. Those are the guys that we could send back and forth between the taxi squad. Now, waivers are a crazy thing. If your team claims a player off waivers, you need to have that cap space available at the time. So that being said, with only three teams available yesterday, that's what was reported, I felt safe with Derek Ryan. Yeah, I freaked out a little bit. But I mean, what if we lost him? Yeah, it wouldn't be great, but then we'd have cap space freed up too. I don't know. I think it worked out in the best possible way. A couple other things about waivers. You can't waive somebody and to make room for someone that you just claimed. So like that protected us even more because some team couldn't just be like, well, let's just waive him and claim Derek Ryan. It's that much, you know, there's that many stipulations on it. A couple of guys, you know, like I actually, when I saw the name Corey Perry come up, I was like, man, I hate Corey Perry. Could you imagine Tkachuk and Corey Perry on the same team? We all saw last year that Corey Perry can be effective. But there again, you had to have the cap space available, and we actually did on that one. But he cleared. You know, it's all about, you know, finagling that cap space and getting room. Now, Shillington's another one. I saw so many messages, tweets, everything about this organization is screwing over Oliver Shillington. Okay. Well, let's talk about Oliver Shillington. When I see and I watch Oliver Shillington, I see a guy that I'm like, wow, does this guy move? And does he have huge upside? Well, then that goes back to the question, how quick should prospects develop? And why haven't we felt more safe with him on the blue line? Have you felt safe with Oliver Shillington on the blue line? I love his ability to move the puck and his ability to skate the puck. But how many times did we see him skate the puck, turn it over, and it's a 2-on-1 going back the other way? Now, I'm not trying to be overly critical on Oliver Shillington. I like him. I still think I'm glad he's on the roster, and I still think there's a place for him. But by having the ability to send him up and out of the taxi squad helps us with cap, but it also gives us versatility. We need that. We need to be able to see, you know, what's going to happen and where we're going to be able to, we need that versatility. If Mackey's, we're going to play him and we need that versatility. Now that cap hit can be fully buried, as Ryan Pike reported that Ronaldo and Shillington's cap hits can be fully buried, and $1.075 million of Ryan's hit, which is $9,267 per day, can be buried too. I would expect the Flames to rock a 20-man roster on the off days as much as they can to bank this cap space. This is something we've never seen before, and God, I pray we never see it again, because this is going to help teams that are up against the cap, which is damn near the whole league this year, with it being a flat cap. There's going to be a lot of maneuvering. We'll talk about this roster here in a little bit as we head into segment two of this. Let's touch briefly on injuries and COVID. Last week I talked about Tyler Parsons a little bit and questioned why he wasn't in camp. And I completely slipped my mind that Tyler Parsons has an ankle injury, and he was injured during the offseason. It's a injury that, he's not able to play right now, and he will be going to Stockton when it does heal. And I totally spaced that one. I'm sorry. Sam Bennett was out. He is back. He came back to the camp on Sunday. A lot of people speculated COVID. I'm not going to lie to you. They're saying it is an undisclosed injury. Day to day, but he has been back. He did play in Monday night's, in the scrimmage, and it's good to have him back because he is a critical part of this team. Okay. Then roster was announced at, I believe 3 o'clock Mountain Time on Tuesday, and it caught me off guard. There's one thing that caught me off guard. I had planned out my roster and my lines, and we'll talk about my lines in a minute, but first we'll talk about the roster. I had my roster all picked. I had 23 rostered players, 6 taxi for a total of 29 players. Just fit under the cap. But then I didn't fully understand, or I guess didn't study hard enough to fully understand the cap rules and what you could do and how you can manipulate it to pack cap space aside for a rainy day like trade deadline day. So when the Flames announced today that they rostered 20 players and 6 taxi players for a total of 26 players, I said, whoa, what's going to happen now? Is that enough players with COVID? It scares me. It still scares me. And I think I've got a solution to how they'll fix that. Of course, the goaltending was exactly what we expected. The defensemen rostered were Anderson, Giordano, Valimaki, Tanev, Hanifin, rhymed, and Nesterov. And Nesterov has been very, very good. He's been with Valimaki the whole camp, and I expect we'll see that tomorrow, or Thursday night, excuse me. The forwards rostered were Backlund, Gaudreau, Lucic, Tkachuk, Nordstrom, Monahan, Levo, Lindholm, Dubé, Simone, Mangiapane, and Bennett. No huge surprises there other than, you know, we didn't see Derek Ryan on there, and that is called cap manipulation. Then the taxi squad was announced, and that was Connor Mackey, defenseman, Derek Ryan, center, Zach Rinaldo, left wing, Buddy Robinson, right wing, Oliver Shillington, left defense, and Louis Domingue. Now, we knew Domingue would be there. We knew Robinson, Rinaldo. I felt like they would have kept another defenseman up in the rostered spot. They didn't, but why would you when you can save cap? So it makes sense now that I'm informed better and understand this system better. But I do feel like they may need to have one more on their roster. And my first question was, well, what about the PTOs with Brett Ritchie and our old buddy Stone? Now, Brett Ritchie, I don't know. I don't see him signing. I think that big body would be good. I don't see that happening. As far as Michael Stone, you know, this guy came here in a trade. We went on a 9-game winning streak when he came from Arizona. The next year he was bought out. Was it full year? And then that year we bought out. Well, anyways, he gets bought out. Weeks later, signed again, league minimum or a little over league minimum, and plays last year, spent a lot of time in the press box last year. But the fact of the matter is this guy's got a hard shot. He's solid on the back end. He's not a liability in my mind, even though some people think he is. But really, when you look at it, I'd be hard-pressed for them to give me the facts that he's been god-awful. Now, last year he did have some, yes, I know, I'll send me a tweet. He did have some stages where he wasn't as good statistically, let's put it that way. But this guy's a veteran presence that can be in the press box. We're not stunting his development, and can step into an NHL game and be fine. He proved to us last year that he can do that. I really hope the Flames sign him. Now, PTOs did run out. They ran out today, and so he's not a roster player, and either is Ritchie. So they cannot partake in any team functions, not under contract. I know there was some talk originally that they could participate in practices and stuff like that because their PTO hasn't ended. But no, it has technically ended once the regular season starts. So then he needs to be contracted. I don't know where we go with Stone. I think there's a best chance that Stone gets signed. I actually hope it does. I know a lot of people don't like Stone, but I've always been impressed with what he's done for this team. I don't think Stone's ever really been a problem. Let's put it that way. And can you have enough defensemen for a COVID season and hopefully a long playoff run? Can you have enough defensemen? I don't think so. So now with the game starting just 48 hours away, a little under 48 hours away, as I record this, everybody's like, well, what are the lines going to be? And so let's speculate a little bit, because we're going to be done speculating pretty soon here, because man, we're going to be talking for real, because we'll have real hockey to talk about. And that's going to be way, way more fun. Let's look at the forwards quick. The way they were set at the last practice as a team had the day off today, Gaudreau, Monahan, Simone as a line, Lindholm centering Tkachuk and Dubé, which is probably going to be tagged the first line. Backlund centering Mangiapane and Levo. Bennett centering Nordstrom and Lucic. When you look at this, Monahan and Gaudreau have had a click in the past. Backlund, Mangiapane have. Bennett, Lucic have. That's a pretty deep group. It's pretty deep. I still think Ryan will fit in there at center. And, if it was my opening night roster, here's what I would do. I would have Lindholm centering Dubé and Tkachuk, which is what is projected. I would have Monahan centering Gaudreau and Sam Bennett. Now everybody's like, whoa, wait a second. Now you just said in your last three podcasts, you'd like to see Bennett at center. I would like to see Bennett at center. I think he's earned it. I don't want to see him at fourth line center. He's got to be in the top three lines to be an effective center. And I don't want Lucic in our top three lines. So if that all makes sense. Plus, I look at this. What does Gaudreau and Monahan need? They need somebody fast. They need somebody mean. They need somebody physical. And a guy that can score. Now, a lot of you are like, well, wait a minute, Sam Bennett doesn't score a lot. Well, has Sam Bennett been put in the situation to score a lot? I don't know. In the playoffs he is, and he produces. Funny how that works. I like that line. You give him a bunch of offensive chances. Bennett can take draws too. He can help Gaudreau. He'll push that line. I don't know. I like that line. Then I would have Backlund with Levo and Mangiapane, which is also projected. And I would have Ryan centering Nordstrom and Lucic, with Simone filling in for Lucic every other game at least. I think you lighten the load on Lucic this year and he will be effective down the stretch. You run him all year in a shortened season, in a compact season, and we're going to have issues down the stretch. That's my thoughts on the lines. Defensive pairings. Projected that Giordano will be with Anderson, Hanifin with Tanev, Valimaki with Nesterov. I would have the exact same. I like that. I like those pairings. The only thing I would say is be careful how much you use Gio. Don't over put him into situations that he's against the first line every single night. That's why you have Tanev. And from what I've heard, that Valimaki and Nesterov are going to have no problems being productive and being solid defensively. And that's amazing news, because that's exactly what we need, is three-tier deep depth on D. You know, we had how many years where we looked at our defense and were like, great on paper, great, going to be the best defense in the Western Conference. And then we weren't. Well, now a lot of teams are looking at our defense now and going, well, we don't know about him. We don't know about him. We don't know about him. Do you guys think that maybe that's a good thing? There might be some good to that. The Taxi Squad. Well, the Taxi Squad is as follows. Connor Mackey, Derek Ryan, Zach Rinaldo, Buddy Robinson, Oliver Shillington, Louis Domingue. I thought maybe we would see a Glenn Godden there. That would be the, and Stone, of course. I talked about that, but, I don't know. I don't know that this organization still isn't looking at a guy like Glenn Godden or Raziska and saying they are going to be so much better served playing than they are sitting on the taxi squad. And I can't argue that. But the only thing is, if those leagues don't start up and don't get going, you know, are moves going to be made there and changes going to be made in that taxi squad? It would probably make sense to do that. Now you can speculate. You can speculate about lines and what you would do and all this. And we all think we know the right answers. But the truth is, Coach Ward isn't going to put our lines down. Now, after Thursday night's game and after Saturday night's game, I'll probably have a whole list of changes that I would make. But one thing I hope this year, especially with a team that has a lot of new guys on their roster, you have to let players gel. I pray that Jeff Ward doesn't pull the same stunt he did last year that got me hot under the collar, where he'd give a line a period to gel and then wonder why they didn't click. How do you know? Some of those guys get like 5 minutes a period. And you're dictating a line on 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes? Come on. Let's let these guys play for a 4 or 5 game stretch. Build some continuity. Build some camaraderie with their lines. Have a little faith in this team. This is a good hockey team. I have high hopes for this year. I'm excited as can be. I like this team. Have some patience with the lines. Let them gel. Let them work together and let them produce.
Inside Edge Hockey News. Dropping the gloves and stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk about some just basic Flames news. This is a segment of the show where we'll just odds and ends stuff that are happening, man. First thing we'll talk about, it was announced that the helmet logo sponsor for the Flames is Scotia. It looks okay. It does. I was ready to freak out about this. I don't like advertising on uniforms. I don't. I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's a slippery slope. But I also understand why this year the league has had to do it. And I do also believe that it's going to get to jerseys. I don't doubt that it doesn't make it to jerseys next year. I just pray that when it does, that it is as classy as I think the helmets look. Because I was pleasantly surprised with that. Former Flame Jay Bouwmeester announces his retirement at the age of 37, 17 NHL seasons. A wonderful, wonderful skater, smooth skater, and a rock on the back end. Played 3.5 seasons in Calgary. Was looked up to on every team he played for. Was thought of as a super down-to-earth great guy. Jay Bouwmeester scared the hockey world last year, and we worry about his health to this day. We wish him the best in his retirement. He deserves a great retirement because he had a great career. And, got to hoist that Stanley Cup too. So, Flames Award winners. Two awards were announced actually today. The Ralph and Sonia Scherfield Humanitarian Award went to Sam Bennett. This award is presented annually to a Flames player who best exemplifies perseverance, determination, and leadership on the ice, combined with dedication to the community service off of the ice. Congratulations to Sam Bennett. This guy, I hope he has a great year. Oh man, do I wish this guy. He's the third Flame that I'm most excited to watch this year. Second award, the J.R. Bud McCraig Award goes to Milan Lucic and Deidre Campana. Hope I said that correct. This award honors two Flames personnel, a staff player and staff member who best exemplified Mr. Craig's enduring virtues of respect, courtesy, and compassion for all the individuals they encountered in their professional and everyday life. Congratulations to the two award winners. Let's take a trip in the division and some news from the North, as the North Division, which we'll all call the Canadian Division all year, you know we will, gets named and gets a sponsor. And it's the same sponsor that's doing our helmet. It is Scotiabank. And as much as I hated the helmet thing, I didn't care about this because these divisions are only lasting a year, and we'll probably have our divisions named next year again. So I can live with that. I can live with that. Actually, the logos look pretty decent, and yeah, it's doable. Vancouver took a few days off from practice for COVID reasons. Due to extreme caution, they had a false positive test. But then I saw some Twitter scuttlebuck. As I was getting ready to record here tonight, where it looks like JT Miller is unfit to play. Now, I don't want to speculate, but it makes you wonder if he's maybe one of those with the COVID. Gary Bettman held a press conference was it yesterday and talked about the league, and he said that the NHL players and staff will get in line like everybody else for COVID vaccines. There will be no purchasing of vaccines from the league. There will be no special treatment. There will be no nothing. The league is treating its players like normal people. The last thing this league wants to do is, take something that the public needs away from them because they're professional athletes. And I think that's a good decision by the league. Gary Bettman also, when asked about revenues, said that the NHL's revenues are generated directly and indirectly at games is 50% of league revenue, which is ticket, concessions, parking, etc. Makes up 50% of what the league makes. He said that the magnitude of this loss when it comes to the magnitude of this loss in dollar terms starts with a B, meaning that they're going to lose billions of dollars this year, this league is, and the owners are. He also went on to say it would be a smaller number if they just shut down. Now, I know some owners are not happy about playing, and I don't blame them. Man, the players aren't having to give up anything, and they say they are because it's got escrow and all this. And you look at the percentage of what the owners are going to lose compared to what the players are going to lose. Man, this thing's got to get back to 50-50. And I don't know how the players are ever, ever, ever going to be paying this back. I don't know how it'll get done. Waivers, let's talk about waivers from in the division. Edmonton put just some notable ones, and all of these were unclaimed. Edmonton, Jujhar Khaira, the forward, was unclaimed. Montreal, Corey Perry and Michael Frolik were unclaimed. Vancouver, Louis Erickson was unclaimed. Big shocker. And Winnipeg, this one surprised me a little bit. Matthew Perreault was unclaimed, and I think they're doing the same with him as the Flames are with Derek Ryan. Claimed, there was a couple of guys claimed out of the North Division. As we talk about a division that I'm still not used to, and it'll take a couple weeks. We'll get into the swing of things. New Jersey claimed goalie Eric Comrie from Winnipeg. That's a good pickup for them. Eric Comrie is a good young prospect, and one that will be great, hopefully, for the New Jersey Devils. Nashville picked up Lucas Spezza from Winnipeg, defenseman. San Jose picked up forward Rudolf Bulkers from Ottawa, and Carolina picked up Anton Forsberg from Edmonton. That one surprised me a little bit, but it also makes sense, though, too, because Carolina, well, now they'll have to carry three goalies, so that'll be interesting, but he'll be their safety net on the practice squad. Well, no, I don't know how they'll be able to do that, if they'll be able to, if he's waiver eligible, if he can go up and down, but that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Time for the listener poll question. We went to Facebook this week like we do quite frequently, talk to our buddies at Calgary Flames Fans and Flames Hub, And of course, yep, we got a good poll, lots of responses. And this week's question was, a good start is critical this year. How many points will the Flames have to have, or how many, let me read that again. How many points will the Flames have after 10 games? Now points, not wins, points. There was five categories, 0 to 4 points, 5 to 8, 9 to 12, 13 to 16, and 17 to 20. 54% of the people polled said 13 to 16, which is pretty high, 30% had 9 to 12 points. That's where I fell in. Not that I've told you 100 times on this show that I have high hopes for this team this year. And I think they will be good. I actually projected them to finish second in the North. But the Calgary is known for to have slow starts. And with a lot of new players, I just think it'll take a little bit of time. But we'll be okay. I think we'll be in that 9 to 12 points after 10 games. 13% think we'll be at 17 to 20. Boy, would that be wonderful. Oh, man, it'd be great. 2% said 0 to 4. I don't think that's going to happen. And 1% said 5 to 8. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun. And again, thanks to my friends at Flames Hub and Calgary Flames fans. If you are a Flames fan and you're on Facebook and you're not part of these groups, you're missing out. Great groups. Guys and gals talk Flames hockey every single day.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, time to talk about this week's games. Can you believe we're actually in the game preview part, and we actually have something to talk about? It all starts Thursday nights as the Calgary Flames head to Winnipeg. They will fly out Wednesday and prepare. They'll practice Wednesday morning, I believe, and fly out in the afternoon. And the Flames will take on the Winnipeg Jets at 6 p.m. Mountain Time from the MTS Center. Calgary last year finishes the year 36-27-7, 79 points, third in the Pacific. They beat Winnipeg in 4 games in the play-in round, then lost to Dallas in 6 games in round one. Winnipeg, on the other hand, 37-28-6, 80 points. Can you get any closer? Fourth in the Central Division since last year. They were in a different division. They lost to Calgary in 4 games in the play-ins. And don't forget the Matthew Tkachuk hit on Scheifele and the injury to Scheifele that he was out for the rest of the years, the rest of the year. Will that come into play? Will that be a factor? Is that something that we'll even be talking about? I don't know. I don't know. It'll be interesting. It sparked the rivalry, if anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm different than a lot of you guys. I've always thought of this rivalry as being a pretty strong rivalry. They're always good games. Remember last year, the one game we played them in the regular season was up in outside in Regina. Great hockey game. I've always felt like there's a good rivalry with Winnipeg. And, it's a good team to start the year off. I think Winnipeg's going to be really, really good this year. And this is going to be a tough task. Facing Connor Hellebuck on night one. Yeah, it's going to be a tough, tough task. Then Saturday night, the hated Vancouver Canucks come to town to take on the Calgary Flames, 8 p.m. Mountain Time at the Saddle Dome. Hockey night in Canada's second game of the doubleheader. It is also Flames Unfiltered Hot Mic Game of the Week, so check us out on the Hot Mic app and watch the game with us. Talk hockey with us as the game goes on. We'll talk a little bit more about that show later on. First meeting for the Flames since, we got all the Canucks players last year as Markstrom, Tanev, and Levo all played for the Canucks last year. It'll be really interesting to see how that transfers over. And, I don't know. You think Markstrom gets that start? I don't know. Probably, but maybe Redick does. I don't know. I would say you'd have to go with your money man right up front, wouldn't you? Yeah. Monday, Vancouver's still here. For game 2 of the 2-game set, that one goes at 7 p.m. Mountain Time from the Saddle Dome. Then the Flames have 5 days off. Yeah, 5 days off before hosting Toronto. That is crazy, isn't it? It doesn't seem possible that you can have a 5-day break right after. Wow. Anyways. We mentioned a little bit ago about the Hot Mic Game of the Week, and yeah, we're going to get going on that. The first Hot Mic Game of the Week, it is Saturday night, January 16th, when Vancouver comes to town, and this season Flames Unfiltered is super pumped to have this Game of the Week. It'll be one night a week you can join me watching a Calgary Flames game in a watch party. It's easy to do. We'll talk Flames, we'll complain, we'll bitch, we'll cheer. We'll talk about Lions, who's moving, who's shaking, who's producing, who's making us mad. We'll have a lot of time, a lot of good times. We'll have some prizes to give away. It'll be great fan interaction on a weekly basis on the Calgary Flames, Flames Unfiltered Game of the Week. Now, how do you do it? Well, first thing you do is you grab your phone or your iPad and you download the Hot Mic app. HOTMIC. Set up an account. It's free. It's easy to do. It takes just minutes. Search Flames. You'll see a Flames Unfiltered icon. Yep, the podcast logo. You see it right there. You'll see that. Click on that. Join the Flames Unfiltered group. Then check the viewing schedule. You'll see that we're loaded and ready to go for Saturday night's game. When it comes to Saturday night, you click on that button. It'll pull up the screen and you join the group. Now you can chat while you do it and you can do all kinds of fun things. We'll give some prizes away. And you know what? You're in. It's easy. It's easy to sign up. It's easy to get going. You can start with the watch party, sit back with your cold beverage, your food, message, tweet me on Twitter, let everybody know you're watching with us. And you know what? Hopefully you win some prizes and have a good time doing it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see how that goes and excited to get going with that this year. Is, the Hot Mic Game of the Week will be on Saturday night when the Vancouver Canucks come to town. It will be a good one. It'll be a great game because we hate the Canucks, don't we? Yeah. The Canucks are not fun to watch, are not fun to play against. So we made it through another show and we're ready for a Flames season. Thank you to all the listeners. We truly appreciate all of you guys. We roll into season two here now, and it's so nice to have hockey to talk about, live hockey. Make sure you get out, follow us on social media, at Flames Unfiltered. We're on all of them. Subscribe to us on YouTube, and yeah, you'll find that under Inside Edge Hockey News. And then rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That's how we move up the ladder on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate all the good reviews and the good rates. We appreciate it. And subscribe. I'll let you know every time this show comes on. We always record on Wednesday nights for a Thursday drop. And, yeah, it's going to be a good, good time. Next week, we'll put a wrap on all three games that we see. We'll talk about that opener in Winnipeg. Talk about the home set with Vancouver. It's going to be great to be talking about live hockey. It'll be amazing. We'll also preview that Toronto series. We're hoping to have a guest on to the show. We're working on that currently. And, yeah, it's nice to have hockey back. It's good to have something positive in life, right? Stay safe, everybody. This COVID thing's not done, and we need to be safe, secure, take care of your families. It's going to ease, it's going to be nice to have hockey. It's a big part of my life, and I know a big part of your guys, and hopefully we can all get out there and enjoy the opener on Thursday night and have a great weekend of hockey. Take care, Flames fans. See you next week.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.